Moncrief on News Talk.
During a podcast interview, the former First Lady Michelle Obama opined that bad bosses might not be such a bad thing. She said that Gen Z particularly need to be unappreciated or bored to foster resilience, which in time would make them better leaders. Could that be true? Or is it another incidence of boomers peddling the didn't do me any harm idea? Donal O'Donoghue is Managing Director of Sanderson Recruitment. Afternoon, Donal.
How are you, Sean?
Yeah. is she right? And is it the parents' fault?
It's absolutely the parents' fault. So I was saying to you off air there, I've been recruiting people for 30 years, from 96 to 2026. And the difference across the years in terms of how people show up in work, particularly in early careers, is remarkable. So, yeah, I think Michelle Obama is right. She was basically saying that you need to have suffered through the bad jobs, the crappy bosses, to really build your resilience and to actually be worth something in the workplace. For those of us that started before the Celtic Tiger and work was booming, that did the crappy jobs, that went out hanging onto the back of a milk float or cutting people's grass or pushing the trolleys around Dunn stores or whatever it was, you learned something about how to deal with people and work ethic and resilience. And I think the generation today that grow up being told they're brilliant and getting a participation medal for showing up instead of for competing, they get a shock when they land into the workplace, because sometimes it's the first time that they get some tough feedback and they get told no.
Yeah. But then they curl up into a reflexive ball and leave that job and blame the job.
Yeah, so you definitely see that there's increased churn, there's people not making it out of probationary periods. And of course, look, this is a really broad conversation. It doesn't apply to everyone. But there's definitely something to be said for getting, you know, whether it's transition your students, getting them out on work experience, getting them working in that part-time job, working summers to build some of those skills, because, you know, they don't have the same resilience that, say, the Gen Xers had. Like, yeah. So if you think about it, where did resilience come from? Playing outside without supervision, falling out with your friends and having to sort it out, learning to deal with bullies and having the resilience to get through those, which everybody does and it's tough, and figuring things out without constant support. And I think now there is a generation of helicopter parents, and I'm a parent myself of kids in primary, secondary, third level. I'm a stepdad as well. And it's a different world. And that has a knock-on impact, because when people come into the workplace, we're definitely seeing that managers are now having to look at dealing with some of those gaps in terms of resilience and you know, people that have grown up with soft feedback and gentle parenting, sometimes they need a fire lit under their backside in the workplace.
Yeah. Also, the notion of failure. Like, nobody learns anything if everything goes well for them. You only learn from your failures. But it seems like failure is almost verboten now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, look, that's where the struggle comes from. And I've had a podcast about this for the last couple of years. If you look at anybody that's achieved high performance, whether that's in the workplace or in sport or in the arts, there's always the hero's journey, isn't it? There's always that kind of the initial talent. But what actually determines success is often the grit and the ability to stick through and work through the tough times that actually comes out into real success. So I think Michelle Obama has a point. And you could say, look, you know, she's from a privileged position, but actually she came through quite a bit, you know, to get to the position that she's in life. And her podcast with her brother Craig Robinson is actually pretty good. You know, they bring on some guests and they look at some of these things. They're not afraid to have some of those difficult conversations, which she probably couldn't have had when she was First Lady.
Yeah. No, I suppose the difficulty is if you've grown up, you know, and you've known hardship and you've known bullies and you know, you've had to strive. You've grown up knowing that kind of almost instinctively, you know, those things. It's only when you look back in retrospect that, oh, yes, I did, you know, learn some resilience from that. But if you have, you know, a 25-year-old now who hasn't learned any of those things, it's very difficult for them at that stage to start learning them, or is it?
It's not. It's just arrested development. I think it just is happening later in careers and later in life. Like, if you look at it, I mean, we talked about it before on the show. We were looking at some of the performance of Marks & Spencer as a business and talking about their CEO. But that guy started off collecting trolleys and worked in every job all the way up, you know, learned how to do the job well, learned how to be a people manager, and is now running a PLC. Whether you like or dislike his views on the world, you know, there's a resilience that comes from doing all those crappy jobs. And that's just hard to replicate. So my call out to parents, whether they're helicopter parents or whether they're tough feedback parents, is to get the kids on task, working, contributing, and dealing with some tougher situations earlier in life.
Yeah, someone's texted in to say, a colleague of mine had to explain to a new recruit that being told what to do and how to do it by the boss was not actually bullying.
Absolutely. Or you'll get this, you know, people saying, it's not fair. No, it's not fair. It's work. And it's not called fun. It's called work.
Well, it's because there is, you see, at the same time, there's a kind of a, and you see it on social media about following your passion. And, you know, if it's a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life and all those kind of things. So people are being set up to have this expectation that everything will be wonderful.
Well, look, I think what can people do? What can managers do? Whether you're a shift manager in a retail store or whether you're a manager in a big tech company, I think there has to be an element of giving people work that they don't particularly enjoy. I think there has to be an element
deliberately
of,
like.
Well, no, but like it can't all be sunshine and lollipops. So there has to be an element of setting standards and holding people accountable to those standards. Mm. Like if there's a deadline and it isn't adhered to, well, what are the consequences? Because the challenge that we see, and again, we're recruiting people in Ireland, the UK, in Australia, in Hong Kong and Singapore. And there's a common theme across all these markets, you know. If there isn't performance, there has to be accountability. Mm. And actually those consequences, if they're not happening in the school, if they're not happening at home, the workplace is the first time that some of these people are hitting these challenges and it hits them like a shot between the eyes.
Yeah. So but when you're interviewing people, I assume you can already smell it off them that they mightn't have faced this kind of situation at all. And then why hire them?
Well, you look at the career trajectory. And I was talking to somebody who hires some very qualified and very technical people in a particular industry. But if the person hasn't worked throughout their education, he's not really interested in somebody that's come from mommy and daddy and has come from, you know, getting a nice qualification and wants to arrive into the workplace on a nice salary now with all the benefits and all the snacks. If you haven't struggled, he doesn't want to have to be the person to introduce that struggle.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to be said for it.
Yeah.
Well, then what was your crappy job?
Oh, God.
Excluding
the one I have now. I've cleaned toilets. I worked in a headstone factory for a while.
Wow.
Now, it was, well, actually, I quite enjoyed the job because I was still in school. So it was a summer job. But like when I look back now, like health and safety, they had these kind of stone, round stone things that they would use to polish the headstones over and over, and it would take hours. But they were on these kind of metal brackets. And when they wore down, my job was to replace the new polishing stones. But there wasn't like a gizmo to do it with. It was an old fashioned grill. I stuck it on the old fashioned grill. I had to pick it up. It was red hot with two files and then prise it off, put glue in it and put the thing back in. And every time, and then I had to flip it over. And every time the glue would run down all over my hands. So between my thumb and my index finger, I had a hole permanently burnt in my hand.
And it didn't do you any harm? Summer.
And it didn't do me any harm. That part of my skin is rock hard now, I would have thought. I have a small company. I've employed some absolute bangers. One guy thought it was fine to run a car sales business on my hours. What's wrong with that? I work with a woman in her 30s years ago. Anytime things didn't go her way in work, she would cry and stomp her feet. She always thought she was being treated unfairly, even though management tiptoed around her. I was pulled into meetings where I was told she was going through a tough time. The tough time went on for years. Me and my colleagues were the ones who had to endure her bad behaviour and bullying. One day during one of her tantrums, I gave her a stern piece of my mind. She left crying and never came back. I heard later that she was let go from two jobs after that. Well, we don't know. That woman may have had issues. For an employer now, though, and you have a 25-year-old who might be very well qualified but knows it all and can't be told, can you do anything with that?
Absolutely. I think the key thing that companies look for is, are people coachable? And look, we're in a different context and we see things through a different lens, you know, having come up through slightly harder times, and the generation before us had harder times again. But I fundamentally believe, and have to be fair, there are some brilliant people entering the workplace now, really smart, really hardworking, but they just enter it with a different level of maturity to what those of us that struggled a little bit, that hung on to the back of the milk float to deliver, you know, the milk early in the morning for 50 pence or whatever it was. It's a different time.
Yeah. Maybe we should, they shouldn't hire people who haven't had a crappy job first.
Can you imagine the health and safety now, though? An 8-year-old hanging on to the back of a milk float at 7 o'clock in the morning.
No, probably not. Donald, thanks a million. As ever, that was Donald O'Donoghue there, Managing Director at Sanderson Recruitment. You are listening to the, oops, sorry. I hope all the parents that say transition year is a waste of time are listening to this, says Jacinta. Somebody else says, I worked as a care assistant around 25 years ago. The chef rang in sick. They asked, can anyone cook? I said yes, and I became the cook of the nursing home at weekends at 16. Could you imagine prime time investigating that? And someone else says, I find that the young people of today have absolutely no life skills. Like your guest said, it's down to parents to instill those qualities in their children. Parents just mollycoddle their children. They'll grow with absolutely life skills. Well, hopefully you can kind of fire them out of the house and tell them to learn some.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.